Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
SMMEs in South Africa and their contribution to the economy. And we also spoke around funding for SMMEs within the youth, black, as well as female space when it comes to the National Empowerment Fund. But most excitingly, we also heard from the Managing Director and Chairperson of Volkswagen South Africa, given their 4 billion rand investment into the manufacturing plant in the Eastern Cape, where they look to continue to bolster the various options of vehicles that they manufacture and produce in South Africa, but also looking to be the sole manufacturer for Polo vehicles across the globe. So bear in mind, in a few years' time, or even months, anywhere you see a Polo globally, it would essentially have been officially produced and manufactured in South Africa. So that tells us something about the leadership that we do have in various parts of our country and opportunities to make sure that this leadership is retained. But how do you do that? The best way to retain talent is to reward them appropriately. And this shifts gears to allow us to go into our next conversation, which will be taking a look at multi-generational workforces and how to reward them. While you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Kukulethu Mfuphi, and our next conversation is with Dion Smit, ex-co member at the South African Reward Association and Master Reward Specialist, to give us some insight into the rewards programs that we see different generations requiring. Mr. Smit, always a pleasure to speak to you and welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Gugu, and good evening to all the listeners.
Fantastic. Good to touch base with you. I guess we probably need to start this conversation first by looking at rewards and the kind of remuneration that typically does take place in a market like South Africa before taking a look at the nuances in terms of generational shifts. So remuneration, typically we hear, well, I want a market-related salary, but it's not always that simple, right?
Yeah, it's not always that simple. I think it's quite broad. And reward is just an umbrella. And the South African Reward Association looks at all of those elements in different. And the whole point is to, how do I attract and retain and motivate employees in the organization? Now, remuneration is one element, and that consists of your pay. It also consists of incentives, but it also has things like wellness, the work environment, career opportunities, development, all those elements together is how people are rewarded. And it's also something like recognition, not just financial, but also non-financial recognition. And that encompasses the whole spectrum of reward.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we also know that there's a number of factors that do speak to it, right? That you as an individual need to bring to the table in order to substantiate the kind of value that you can add to a business and as a result be remunerated for. I'm keen to understand if we're seeing this shift from baby boomers, who are individuals born in the 1950s to 1960s, versus perhaps millennials, Gen Zs, who were born after the 80s. Are there interesting and intriguing dynamics that are developing here?
Yeah, I think very much so. So generational theory is one of my passions. And I think what we're seeing in the business, and now that we have four different generations in the workplace, where the baby boomers are busy moving out and the Gen Z coming in quite fast and furious, already one quarter of the workforce is almost Gen Z.
Whoa.
And the baby boomers, they are much more focused on career and dedicated. You'll find them loyal to a company for much longer. And then the other side of the spectrum, you have a Gen Z that says, I'm not loyal. My values have to agree with the values of the company. And I think on that side, you have a generation that is going to challenge the status quo much more organizations. They also much more around balance, flexibility, and agility in their work life. And I think they're going to change the world in quite a big way in terms of how we work, the way of work.
Really?
And I think the big challenge in between, you have the Gen Xers and the millennials, and they all cascade between those levels of loyalty, what they want out of work, the flexibility. And each generation comes with its own nuances, very career focused, and where millennials have a work from anywhere mentality, then they prefer a more open and transparent worker relationship where baby boomers is almost put your head down, do your thing, and they're motivated by other things in the workplace.
I find this so intriguing, Dion, because it almost brings about the analogy that the baby boomers are loyal, as you say, and are happy to receive the watch after 10, 20 years of service at a company, whereas Gen Z would say, hold on, I actually need a holiday for my mental wellness.
Yeah.
Are these some of the themes that are also proving to be important when it comes to remuneration and the reward structure? Because maybe for one, it might be more financial versus a sense of flexibility and time off for another generation.
Yeah, I think in an example of a Gen Z, they might say, I'm now done. I'm going to go and take a break. And they prioritize their own well-being much more than a baby boomer does. Mm. And think long-term, they're going to be mentally much more healthy. They also have to deal with different stresses that those generations didn't have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be much more of a gig economy expert. So they're going to work here, work there, and work everywhere.
Mm.
But they also will, if they don't, if the company is not technologically advanced or not operate like they operate social media, for example, where it's instant, you know, they can access it quickly. And if your organization has not kept up with the times and they can't interact with the work systems, the HR systems in the same way, they're going to go, oh, this is not for me. This doesn't fit the way I work. Which changes this. With baby boomers is much more happy with the status quo as things are. The problem is a lot of the baby boomers are your senior guys in organizations that make some of the decisions around these things. And how do we incorporate and how do we create an environment, culture, reward and recognition structure that accommodate all of these generations so we can meet all their needs? Because it's a war on talent, because you need the Gen Zs to come in and fill those roles of skills and talent, especially data, analytics, all those roles that are now in the market and very, very sought after. And those generations has those skills. And the thing is, the way of working is so different that it can lead to a lot of conflict in the workplace because the status quo is so heavily being challenged at the moment.
And how is that being managed, the conflict?
It's understanding of this. And I think this is where line manager training is so important to understand. I do training internally. I've done training. And actually, we do almost team profiling. And as soon as you understand the different generations and how the different generations think, it's like doing a psychometric test.
Mm.
If you understand how someone wants to be managed or how someone operates, you just understand them better. And I think it's sometimes a lack of information that we don't want, we don't know. It's a lack of information. And I believe that if we understand these information of each generation and how they operate and what motivates them, like Gen Z is not necessarily motivated by money. They will work for less money if they can find an environment that's conducive to their values and how they want to work and the flexibility they get. They will work for less. For them, really? It's about living. Yeah.
That is so intriguing.
We've seen that, and that's we found in some studies that's come out, and which has surprised you because the cost of living, but some of them say, I'm going to work for a place that I feel comfortable to work, where other generations, they're working because they have to work and they must work, and it's almost they're striving for the highest amount, where the next generation says, I don't feel comfortable here. I don't feel that I fit in here, so I'm going to leave. I'm going to find an organization that operates like I do, thinks like I do, has the same values that I do, which is quite interesting and different. So I think for organizations that have been longstanding, it's now to almost pivot into accommodating that is quite difficult. It rocks culture a bit.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think culture needs to be rocked, the boat needs to be rocked a bit so that we can move faster and quicker and in the right direction.
Definitely. Dion, I'm so intrigued because I guess, you know, we see this, we witness it within our workspaces, we might have conversations about it, but once it drills down into the remuneration and reward structure, I'm just blown away by the complexity because it almost seems as though we're moving into an environment where someone's reward and remuneration will be very bespoke. And that's very different because one would assume baby boomers, Gen Z, not Gen X, actually not Gen Z. They have years of experience because of their seniority and because of the life responsibilities that they have, because they're likely to be parents, grandparents, you know, paying off property and other assets. They want to prioritize money over their well-being versus a Gen Z and a millennial who might say, hold on, I'm more happier to take a lower paycheck, but with more time off and flexibility. But I'm intrigued to understand how that will shift in terms of how we view what experience looks like, what skills looks like. And of course, as Gen Zs and millennials get older, take on more responsibilities, how their perceptions of what rewards and remuneration will look like and shift, because with more responsibilities financially, they'll need more income.
100%. I think there's so many nuances in this subset, because currently, and we can use retirement for an example. Now, obviously, if you're old school, so say, just put as much away to retirement as you can, as long as you can. Mm. Where Gen Z is telling us, I want to live now. Make it it's my decision. They give me the option. So while retirement is important, it's giving them the flexibility inside the framework of reward to make their own decisions in terms of where their money is invested. This can be anything from ESG-sensitive companies versus I want to do it as low as possible because I want to be in charge of my own income. I want to invest myself, or I will do. And because even the family structure is so different these days, people decide not to have kids. So you might have five different sets of Gen Xs. They might all have different needs. So inside a generation, you also have so much diversity. So generation is one element where we stereotype maybe a bit certain elements, but inside there's so much more detail in. So, and how do you manage that? You create a framework that is not too rigid. You create a framework that is has borders, but inside those borders, you create a lot of flexibility for people to adjust their reward, their benefits to their needs. Mm. That doesn't mean you have 20 medical aid options. It might mean that you have 3 medical aid options. Gotcha. And you have medical insurance as well. And you have gap, and you have a range of things for people. And my old executive always called it the pick and pay system. What you pick out of that, you then pay for, but then you have the choice to make that decision. And then you can cater for that inside. Unfortunately, there's more benefit if you have more people on one or two. So I think that's where the employer needs to draw the lines. And it also comes down to affordability. Not all employees can have a very fancy recognition system in. So all these things needs to be nuanced inside of the affordability, the size of the company, the locations they operate on, the type of industry that they indicate on. And I think that makes it such a complex issue because, and I've said in the article I've written, is also there's no one size fits all. So as much flexibility as is almost allowable will create the most nuance. So each employee can say, okay, but this feels like my needs are catered for. And some needs are unfortunately so difficult to manage because like risk benefits almost feels like a grudge purchase. Mm-hmm. You know you should have it, and when you pay for it, you moan about it. But the day that you do need it and you're in the situation where you do need it, you're very thankful for that benefit.
That's true.
I think that's where in the employee's responsibility is to continuous education to employees for them to understand why these things are in place. It's not to protect the employer, it's to protect the employee and their interests. And that's why I think that there should be a minimal set of benefits in place. But above that, employees can then have more nuance to actually cater for their own needs and wants. More cash in pocket, more benefits, and such alike.
And Dion, on that, you know, that minimal set of benefits in place, I think this is so important because it will always raise that question around pay parity, whether it's between genders, races, or job specs. Mm. Does that also rock the boat in terms of that segment?
100%. And I think that this is why I think I'm always in favor of a total cost of company approach, meaning that we all have the same starting point at the top, and then we can build it at the bottom. So if I have 5 kids on medical aid and you have none, you know, but we still get the same for the same equal work, for equal pay for work of equal value. So, and I think that's where the pay parity is. And I think the fallacy there is that it doesn't mean people get paid exactly the same, but in the same range. And I think we have a lot of work to do around pay parity in South African pay equity in organizations, something historic. And there's a lot of new legislation out that's also going to add to this and give us more. And that's why if we start with a similar top base and it gets below that, it gets changed based on the individual needs, at least the starting point is the same. So there's no pay equity or parity issues for employers, and you can meet all the needs and wants of employees in that, inside your framework.
Got you. This is such an intriguing conversation, Dion, and it really does bring about different dynamics for us as employees or entrepreneurs to consider, but also those who are leaders of organizations to reflect on when it comes to what remuneration and rewards looks like for different generations. Shoo! Can't wait to see more insight here. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Dion.
100%. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Dion Smit, ex-co member at the South African Reward Association and Master Rewards Specialist.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.